The SOH Network presents AsiaCast, keeping you across the top headlines from the Asia Pacific.
For the SOH News Roundup week ending Friday, April 15th, I'm Rich Crankshaw with AsiaCast. In this bulletin, China's shady medical black markets, Vietnamese still held over China shortwave broadcast, petitioners rebuke claims China improving human rights, and Australian children's surprising second language. But first, our SOH focus on China. An SOH Chinese reporter recently looked into the shady world of China's illegal trade in kidneys for transplant operations, following up on a story about a young man from Hunan province selling a kidney to pay off gambling debts. The reporter found numerous websites offering transplant organs. Organ dealers openly operate online sales and advertising and maintain good relationships with hospitals. Due to their cultural beliefs, few Chinese are willing to donate a kidney if a relative needs a transplant. But one dealer said since many people had financial difficulties, there was an abundant supply of kidneys. The organ dealers our reporter spoke to said a donor received around $6,000 while the recipient would have to pay 10 times that amount. According to a survey by Chinese media, the shortage of blood donors in China has created a black market in blood stocks ruled over by so-called blood lords. Their rampant profiteering is spreading AIDS among China's poorest. The lack of blood supplies in Beijing and other populous cities has been a problem for some time. The introduction of reportedly arbitrary donation quotas on local authorities to meet the demand for blood was quickly exploited. The blood lords took advantage of the fact some village committees were willing to buy blood to meet their donation quotas. They organized college students, migrant workers, and even farmers in Hubei province to sell blood, making a huge profit from it in the process. One villager who spoke to SOH Chinese reporters said a lot of villagers from his hometown had been infected with AIDS from selling their blood. But he said many were still doing it because they are so poor and in urgent need of money. Chinese netizens widely criticized the grand mausoleum built for the former chairman of the Chinese Communist Party's Central Committee after photographs of it appeared online. The tomb of Hua Guofeng has been linked to the royal mausoleums of China's ancient emperors. It took 3 years and around $15 million to build. Internet users from mainland China said the tomb was another vanity project, and the officials involved would have been able to garner huge construction commission fees for awarding contracts. SOH takes a look across the wider Asia-Pacific region. There's still no news on when or if the postponed trial of two Vietnamese arrested for broadcasting programs from the Chinese version of the SOH network into China. Both men are Falun Gong practitioners and were broadcasting programming about Falun Gong and its persecution inside China. They were arrested in June 2010 for making their shortwave broadcast from outside Hanoi into China. The official indictment obtained by the Epoch Times newspaper indicates that the two were arrested at the urging of the Chinese regime. The plight of the men has been championed by Media Watchdog and Human Rights Group with Reporters Without Borders and the Falun Gong Information Center, publishing articles about their case. In addition, media around the world have begun to cover the case with stories by the Associated Press, AFP, and Radio Australia. Vietnam, in prosecuting the two of them, is caught between the conflicting demands of the Chinese regime that has sought to eradicate the practice of Falun Gong and an international community concerned about possible violations of freedom of the press and freedom of conscience. Coming up on AsiaCast, Australia creates artificial reef despite protests and inquisitive dolphins. Taiwan reviews nuclear reactor safety, and Tokyo Disneyland gives thousands a reason to smile. First, SOH Network's quote of the day. Nikki Tarimu, a math tutor, saw Shen Yun perform at the London Coliseum.
The show was really fantastic. I really enjoyed it. It was something that I could never imagine that I was going to see something like that. And the feeling, it was wonderful. As I said to Charlotte, we have a lot of commons, the Greeks and the Chinese. But in this kind of dance, we are completely the opposite. But then, watching this performance, the feeling you get inside, it gives you a pleasure to the soul. And it's exactly the same when you go to Pythagoras, which is one of the ancient theater in Greece. When you see a tragedy there, you have exactly the same feeling, the same euphoria. You don't need language to understand culture. All people, they are the same. That's how I look at it. And culture, they bring us together. But culture, this culture is completely different. But as I said before, it brings the same euphoria, the same feeling inside you. It fills your heart, it fills your soul. And you come out and you're so happy. And it's like, how can I say, you get an injection and you feel so happy about it. I don't take drugs, but surely it must be like that when you have this euphoria.
So are you going to come again next year?
Oh yes, definitely. I'm going to start saving from now.
Inspired by the rich spirit of an ancient culture, Shenyun Performing Arts brings to life classical Chinese dance and music in a gloriously colorful and exhilarating show. The SOH Network is a proud sponsor of Shenyun Performing Arts. For tickets and information, visit www.shenyunperformingarts.org.
You are listening to AsiaCast from the SOH Network.
Back with the rest of today's AsiaCast, I'm Rich Crankshaw. The U.S. State Department recently published its annual Global Human Rights Report. It accuses the Chinese regime of increasing pressure on activists and using illegal means to target dissidents. On Saturday, April 9th, the regime's foreign ministry dismissed those claims, arguing the regime attaches importance to protecting human rights and is continually improving its democracy and law systems. Petitioners in China say this is just not the case, with one petitioner being locked up for a month after complaining about corruption to his friend on the street. Western governments and right groups have expressed concern in recent weeks after the Chinese regime intensified its crackdown on dissidents. Plans to sink a decommissioned warship off the Australian coast of New South Wales Wednesday, April 13th, were delayed for more than 1 hour due to a pod of curious dolphins. The dolphins were spotted inside the exclusion zone established around the HMAS Adelaide 5 minutes before the decommissioned vessel was due to be sent to the bottom of the Tasman Sea. Previously, environmental protesters delayed the scuttling of the Adelaide after a partial victory in the federal court forced the government to clean toxins from the boat before its sinking. The ship was scuttled in order to create an artificial reef, which is expected to draw diving tourists to the region. Taiwan said Wednesday, April 13th, it was getting ready to upgrade the earthquake resistance designs of its nuclear power plants in the wake of the nuclear crisis in Japan. The economic minister said Taiwan's three state-run nuclear power plants were safe, but the government was ready to enhance their safety. Concerns about Taiwan's atomic plants have increased since Japan's Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant was crippled by a magnitude 9.0 earthquake and ensuing tsunami on March 11th. Around 2,000 anti-nuclear protesters took to Taipei streets in March, and campaigners plan to mobilize tens of thousands of demonstrators at a rally on April 30th. On a lighter note, a recent study of schoolchildren has confirmed Australia's status as one of the most culturally and linguistically diverse countries in the world. The latest Australia Early Development Index study measured the health and development of more than 260,000 children in their first year of school. It found that 18% spoke a language other than English. Surprisingly, Arabic was found to be the most commonly spoken language after English. Vietnamese was the second most prevalent at just under 8.5%, followed by Greek, Chinese dialects, and Hindi, each spoken by less than 5%. Aboriginal children comprise just under 5% of the student population, with one-fifth of them speaking a native language in the home. Tokyo Disneyland reopened its doors Friday, April 15th, 5 weeks after Japan was rocked by a magnitude 9.0, followed by an ensuing tsunami and nuclear disaster. Mickey Mouse was on hand to welcome and put a smile on the faces of many of the thousands seeking some relief. To celebrate its reopening, the park put on a colorful musical parade of floats featuring Disney characters. Tokyo Disney said they were prompted by many to reopen early to create an environment to cheer people up. The 10,000 visitors who queued up outside the theme park indicates a little laughter remains a popular tonic to life's woes. Rich Crankshaw, SOH Network.
AsiaCast, keeping you across the top headlines from the Asia Pacific.